Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
It's those quiet experiments we're running to see whether there's real-world use cases for some of this cool tech.
Buckle up, kids. It's time for me to relive some of my high school glory days. In my last 2 years of high school, I played hockey for a team that, under the coaching of Mike McConaughey, had become one of the very best in the country. I was surrounded by all-state and national team players, though I was not one myself. In fact, I was by far the worst player, only there because the quirks of age groups and goalkeeping meant that I was pretty much the only choice. But them's the breaks. Anyway, in those 2 years, we never lost a league game, and we never lost a cup game. But in each, our perfect run was spoilt by a single tournament loss. In my first year, we went down to Robin Peterson's Alexander Road team in a pre-season warm-up that I'm happy to write off. As I said, I wasn't very good at the time, and I hadn't yet expected any better. But towards the end of my second year, all the practice against top quality strikers had improved my own game, and I was getting a lot more possessive of that unbeaten record. So it still stings a little to think of that loss to Grey High School 25 years later. I mean, they were greatly assisted by the appalling refereeing of Mr. Trott, but the point is, Grey High School has produced some good hockey players. And as it turns out, they've produced some great entrepreneurs too. Sabelo Sabanda, co-founder of Creditize, is today's guest. And who knows, maybe he's a reason for me to give up my grudge against Grey High School. Welcome to How to Lend Money to Strangers with Brendan LaGrange. And in case you're out the loop, we're here on a Tuesday because this is the third in my little mini-series of South African-themed bonus episodes, which will run throughout my holiday in August. So I'll be seeing you again on Thursday as normal too. Sabelo Sabanda, you are a machine learning engineer and co-founder at Creditize, a fintech that provides explainable deep learning models through APIs to allow lenders to credit score small businesses. You're also a serial entrepreneur. So before we talk about Creditize, let's explore that. What shaped you into the entrepreneur that you are today?
Well, I've been very, very fortunate to have been exposed to entrepreneurship from an early age. My dad was in industry, and then my mom was a teacher. Whilst growing up, I was really exposed to a lot of their friends, colleagues, etc. I mean, tech entrepreneurship was something that was very attractive since high school. Only got involved some 10 years later. And yeah, what really did shape the experiences was just exposure. I think being around like-minded people makes it just that much easier to get involved.
Yeah, as I said, Creditize is not your first business. So although that's the one we're really here to talk about today, what is Tuesday and what was the thinking behind that business?
So Tuesday was a mesh networking solution initially. We were solving the problem of access to connectivity. We realized that mobile network operators didn't have their networks available in some of the most remote areas of the continent, and we wanted to solve that. So we built an application that essentially allowed your smartphones or mobile internet devices, more specifically, the ability to become nodes in this mesh. So instead of just receivers, they could be transmitters of data packets, essentially create a mesh network through which you can send and receive data packets independently of mobile network operators.
And it did remarkably well. I saw you winning the ITU Telecom Award. What did that mean for you? And what sort of recognition have you seen for that business early on?
Yeah, we were incredibly fortunate. So we won that global award and raised our profile within the industry. Unfortunately, it wasn't the most lucrative of businesses. very, very labor intensive, capital intensive. But we were lucky. We got into the Founder Space Accelerator in San Francisco, raised some VC from a Draper fund very soon thereafter. And we deepened the relationships with the team that we had at Toosafe, who are still actually with us now at Creditas. So we got to meet some really incredible people as a result of having built that business.
Yeah, and when we were scheduling this interview, we had to avoid last week because you were in Dublin. What were you doing there?
So in Dublin, we're part of the Irish Tech Challenge South Africa. I think Impact, Amplifier, the Department of Science and Technology, as well as a Technology and Innovation Agency, TIA, had put together a curated visit to Dublin, very specifically in Ireland, to meet with public and private sector leaders, to explore possible collaboration opportunities. So that went swimmingly. I wish we could have stayed a little bit longer to, properly solidify a lot of the things that we began discussing, but incredibly, incredibly fruitful.
Yeah, and always nice to arrive in a European heatwave to get the best out of a city like Dublin. And I think that's a great way as well to introduce Creditas, which we've mentioned now, but let's maybe take a closer look. You founded that again with Tulisi Volwana. At a high level, what are you bringing to the market?
At a very high level, we are bringing an operating system for lenders to the market. Very specifically, we go about it through, initially it was an API that collects data, behavioral data, and using explainable machine learning, we're able to then infer credit risk decisions. So, this is based off of tens of thousands of data points. And we run specific models, actually sort the data first, of course. We provide an explainable sort of decision-making engine.
And if we talk about context, what does that sort of microfinance markets landscape look like today? How easy is it, generally speaking, for the sort of thin file borrowers that you're helping and the lenders that you're helping to get finance?
In the past, it wasn't all that easy, unfortunately. And one very startling statistic that we came across when we're doing our homework is that over 50% of loan applications get declined at the application stage, either due to being incomplete or failing the FICA requirements before we even get a chance to score that. So we wanted to find ways to make the process as easy as possible. And that said, those that did proceed through to the scoring stage, especially if they're first-time borrowers or small business owners, faced just terribly large odds to, qualify for funding. It's near impossible for many folks that we're trying to serve. So we've opened up that market and we look forward to just working with like-minded people.
You have to wonder, what other industry would you turn away one out of two people queuing outside your door in the morning? If you opened your shop and you sent every second person away carrying your advert under their arm, no other business would survive. But often in credit, we see the situation where we're turning away so many of the people that our marketing budget has attracted. So it really is important for borrowers, of course, to have access to the credit they need to grow their businesses. But this is something lenders want as well. And I like that about your messaging on your website. You're very clearly serving both sides of that market and using behavioral data and machine learning to credit score these micro businesses, these individuals who would otherwise be hard to lend to, so-called thin files. I come from a traditional credit bureau background where we would use months or years even of historical loan repayment data to calculate our scores. How are your scores different to that?
Yes, so what we found is that very often, especially with the thin file borrowers, that quality of data is not readily available. So we had to look at different data points. Of course, with the aid of a lot of published academic papers, you'll find that our team is quite strong academically, and I suppose implementation-wise as well. We look at these data points that have historically proven to infer really good indicators of one's future creditor behavior. So a very practical example, for instance, is GPS data. Found that rating on that is about 0.6. So the behavior and movement of people as far as proximity to place of work is a huge indicator of consistency. And we're looking just for a lot of variables that we can add together that show a consistent sort of habit pattern that then we can infer on a behavioral basis whether or not somebody is able to repay a loan.
A lot of that traditional data. The cleanest version of it is, did you pay your loans or not? But we've always been looking for habit indicators, always looking for steady repayments, you know, steady performance to give us that feeling of a consumer who's predictable. And that never used to really be available. But now we do have all these other data sources to lean on. And it's great to see that we're finding ways to turn that into a loan decision so that consumers don't get caught in that old cycle of you have to have credit to get credit. You mentioned earlier about using APIs to get the scores into the customer's hands. Again, when I was in the space myself, we used to sell software, and it used to be in most cases incredibly complex software. You would have to do a year-long implementation, lots of training. You would be selling it to a lender with, you know, a team of highly qualified statisticians to operate. But how does it work for a small lender if you are going to provide them with this credit scoring capabilities? What do they need to do?
So initially, we had the assumption that the vast majority of these lenders were already digitized, i.e. they had, you know, web applications, mobile applications through which they accepted loan applications. So we found out during our research and actually, you know, conducting interviews with the potential clients that digital transformation is a very recent thing. Brick and mortar operations were pretty much the standard. So our assumption that, you know, we could just provide them with an API that they could plug into a pre-existing solution was a flawed one. And we revisited this and have since created white label solutions, be they web applications or mobile applications. So basically, what a potential client does is get in touch with us, let us know what their needs are, and then we customize the solution accordingly. We realize that if and when they need a solution of this nature, we need to make it as easy as possible for them to adopt it.
One of the barriers to entry has in the past been how complicated it was, and that something like credit scoring would have to follow so many other steps of digitization, so many projects in the data space to get everything in and stored and cleaned and standardized over the months, that it wasn't something you could think of. And now to be able to white label it and kind of go from day one is a good incentive, I think, to reward companies for making these steps and to show these quick returns on investment. You're not talking about 3 years down the line anymore. So yeah, hopefully it'll be a way as well to kickstart some of this and digitization of the credit process. It helps everybody. You talked about, you know, if somebody wants to work with you, they just reach out and get the project going. What's the easiest way for them to do that? Where should they go to talk to you at Creditize?
The easiest way is definitely to go to our website. There's a link they can click on. Just, they send a brief message, their needs. We set up a call and ensure that, the type of solution or intervention that we introduce is one that makes sense for the business. And then we get to deploying. We're working very hard to make it as quick as possible and also as easy as can be. So yeah, the website would be the best place to go.
Great. Creditize.com. I'll certainly put those in the show notes as well. But before I let you go, we're a show that loves credit scores. We're talking often to an audience that loves credit scores. So without giving away too many of your trade secrets here, when you talk about the scores that you're offering, what sort of profile are you doing? Is it, you've talked about SME and individuals, you're using alternative data sources, but in terms of actual performance and predictiveness, how's that going? Are you seeing that work well? Are you seeing people respond to it? What's the under the hood of the Creditize scores?
Yes, sure. So I think in the beginning of this business, we realized that we have to put in some real time in order to prove that with potential customers. So we've been at it for just slightly over 2 years, and we're able to not only backtest from sourced data, but actually test or run our models on real data. And the results have been quite impressive. I think if I say so myself, we're happy with that confidence of 86%. We do provide then a Boolean result where, you know, it's a yay or nay. We realize we don't want to reinvent the wheel with another score that one has to contend with. And our humble assumption is that it's working and working well at that.
And what sort of lenders are you working with? Are you working across the board, or where are you seeing the most value being generated to lenders? Where in the market?
Oh, yes. So definitely in microfinance here in South Africa, we've been incredibly fortunate to join the Microfinance Association of South Africa and gotten exposure to just so many of these companies that are doing some incredible work, not just in SA, but the rest of the continent.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about United Healthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
It's above and beyond just lenders, but also collection agencies, also integration specialists, and just the entire ecosystem has kind of welcomed us quite willingly, which is something I didn't expect. We had tried to look at a different segment, and yeah, the reception was quite cool there. And so we've been doing well with the microfinance industry.
We have rolled out credit scores in a number of countries around the world, and certainly the approach was the same, and you could certainly recognize what was happening, but you know, the score in the Philippines would be dictated by who's reporting to the Philippine Bureau, what products do they have, how do they report it, what's their regulation like, how is that different to the US? Yeah, and then are you bringing in a templated solution that you've got to try and fit everything to, or yeah, and then you move to Malaysia, and then you move to Thailand, and it's always different products, always different data, and you've got to spend a lot of time trying to find out how the exact same story is being told in each different market, because is filtered through the products and the lenders and all sorts of decisions that have been made independent of you to get to you. Whereas with the behavioral data, it feels more natural that actually the sort of behavioral data you can pick up from GPS isn't dependent on how Bank A decided to set up its product. It's not dependent on the way the industry got together 20 years ago and agreed to share a standard data template. It's going more to source. And I think it's got an interesting potential there for future growth where you can perhaps spread those sort of scores. And of course, the context is going to be different and you're going to have to adjust them for other markets. But it does have a lot of interest there for a way of doing credit scoring that is less bound by the borders. And yeah, it'd be very interesting to follow that as you grow and to see how some of these shared behaviors maybe impact risk differently in different markets and how you're bringing credit scoring abilities to more parts of the world.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, one of the things that I'm very, very excited about is that we very intentionally got a diverse team. For instance, our CTO, Dr. Michael Chaze, he's from Uganda. So having that insight of how things operate there, etc., firsthand is just an incredible advantage. And we're seeing a lot of correlation between behavioral data in South Africa and elsewhere. So we're just working to validate our assumptions and just running a whole bunch of experiments every day.
Yeah, good luck on that. And the team, as you said, it's a strong team and you've brought some over from Tuesday. You obviously got a good culture and environment there going. You obviously get lots of recognition. So it's not just talk. You're delivering great products. And I think it's a space that is going to benefit from this for lenders and borrowers and really take out some of that pointless cost that sits in the middle when the system isn't working efficiently. So I always love to hear a good story about a credit score. Also love to hear a good story about innovation to improve access to credit, and you're embodying both of those at Creditize. So, Sabelo, thank you so much for your time.
Cheers. Thank you so much, Brendan, for the opportunity. I sincerely appreciate it.
And thank you all for listening. If you enjoyed that, please do rate and review on your preferred podcast platform and share widely, including on LinkedIn. And while you're there, send me a connection request. The show is written and recorded by myself, Brendan LaGrange, in Brighton, England, and edited with assistance by Kane Hunter. Show music is by I Am Wake, and you can find full written transcripts, show notes, and more content at www.howtolendmoneytostrangers.show. And I'll see you again next Thursday.